I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe. Hi.
Hi.
It's the most babyest time of the year. Wait.
It is true. Actually, it is the time of year, I think, where people...
Babe out
become
the most.
Their most babe self. I know. Well, I mean, I have been.
If they're with their families, they're definitely babing out because that's where you just like reach your not final form but first form.
Yeah, I'm like full reversion at this point. My mom called me this morning. She texted me yesterday and was like, "The Dr. Loper's office has a dentist appointment if you want it." And I was like, "Yeah, I want it." And like was like hoping that she would just call and set it up. And she's like, "Call them." And I was like, "No." And then she called me this morning and was like, "Did you call them? Like, what's that?" And I was like, "I don't want to do it." And like was literally like a full-blown baby.
Why do you get so petulant?
I don't know. She was like, "I'm not responsible for your teeth."
Yeah,
and
she's
I was
not.
Like, why not?
But you made me.
I know.
And you like made my teeth.
I really go back into like a little baby mode where I'm like, I need you to do everything for me.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
I get on the phone with my mom and I get exhausted after 30 seconds. Like full blown like Epstein-Barr fatigue, take her to bed. Like literally, like I'm like, I get like faint. And I'm just like, like it's just crazy. She goes on these long-winded stories about nothing, blah, blah, blah. I think we've talked about this, but
well, moms love a monologue.
A momologue. It is a momologue.
I literally could like some days when my mom calls me, it's just like I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And then it's 20 minutes of a momologue.
I know.
And it's like it'll go, she'll work out an entire scenario, like she'll like work through a scenario.
Oh, mine too. My mom just called me yesterday to talk about what we wanted to eat like Christmas morning because we're not eating until 4.
That's a really good momologue. So, my mom has done that.
Oh, she loved it. That's like, that's where she lives. That's like her richest material. So she's like, should we get like, I could get deli meats the day before. It's all disgusting options, by the way. It's all like weird. She's like, cheese crackers? And I just know that her
version. How is that disgusting?
No, because I just know her version of cheese and crackers is like her loading up at like fucking Costco or something. Like getting some fucking Vaughn shit. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not a cute little charcuterie moment.
Yeah.
It's like a charcuterie. Ew.
Charcuterie.
Yeah. It's gross. But she like deli meats? And I'm just like, no, stop. Mom! I just like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. My mom will go and she'll be like, what should we eat for it was Thanksgiving eating was like the last true momologue. And she's like, we could go to Whole Foods and like blah, blah, blah. And then like 10 minutes later,
does she
she's
cook?
Like, she does every once in a while. We cook some stuff, but like most, she's
what are
not
you
like
eating
a huge
for Christmas?
Cook. We have not figured that out.
Oh, drama.
I mean, good thing is I cook, so I like to do it. So as long as someone just gets the groceries,
wait,
I'll
Christmas
make them.
Day, is it going to just be you and your mom or your dad?
Oh, it's me and my mom and my dad, my stepmom, and then my brother is in
Jake.
Town. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be.
I just don't love Christmas. Like, I feel like it's like there's so much pressure put on Christmas to be this like day.
Yeah.
And it's never going to live up to when you're a kid, when you're like so excited and you get like a shit ton of presents. So I don't really care about like, it's like, I'm down to spend time with family, like, I don't need it to be like this huge magical day.
Holidays are for when you're a child or you have children. It's really hard in the in between.
Yeah. Like what makes a holiday great when you're 30?
I don't know. Holiday parties. Like to me, that's the highlight of holiday season is going to fun holiday parties and being with friends.
That's year's holiday parties were a TBD.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Honey, you know it and I know
no.
it.
No. You know what?
It.
You know what I do know is that you stayed out till 5:30 in the morning on Saturday.
I did.
You always You always are the last to leave.
No, I'm not always the last to leave. That's a bold-faced lie. That's an actual lie.
But, babe...
Ryan, why are you lying about me on our podcast?
Babe, there's been so many nights where we've gone out and you've been like, I think I'm going to stay. And I'm like, are you sure? And then you're like, yeah. And then you like call me right when I'm like going down the driveway. And you're like, just kidding. Because I think you assess the situation. Like, you have a moment of queerity. And you like look around and it's just gay men that are shirtless ready to fuck. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah, but this was not one of those times. No, like you were leaving. You came to like the after party, which was a true shock to my system.
I know, when I saw you gasped.
Yeah, when I was like going down the stairs to go get like another drink. And all of a sudden, like some ghost from Christmas past, Ryan O'Connell appears. And I was like...
You did.
Babe? And then I couldn't believe it because he never comes to the after party.
I never come to a second location. Well, you never, actually, ever no, come. That's not true.
I did one other time this year.
Yeah. And I left because there was some like exec doing coke. And I was like, I got to go.
It was really like coke exec lit that one night.
I remember she was like, we got to do a meeting. I fucking love you. Like she was like crazy. She's like, I fucking love you.
I loved her.
No, she was great. But I also was like, it's time. It's a wrap on me. I was like, and scene. Like, see you at the general, honey. Like, yikes. This got a little too specific. Okay.
Well, I liked her.
No, she was nice.
She had a great energy.
But when you're watching an exec do coke, that's your cue to leave. That's like when you turn into a pumpkin. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I was weirdly into it.
Well, because she was like weirdly into you. She was like,
I'm like, you can do as much coke as you want.
Did you ever meet with her?
No, because I have nothing to meet about. I'm leaving everything. I said, you know what? The rest of 2017, I'm not... trying. The only thing I'm trying is the podcasts.
Yes.
That's all I can do. That's like, I'm not going to try. Like, everything that I've tried to do that's not a podcast this year has been a fail. So,
no, that's not true.
I know, but what can you do?
So true.
So, I couldn't believe that Ryan showed up to this after party. It was truly a Christmas miracle. And then he stayed and stared off into space for like 30 minutes maybe, and then you're like, I gotta go.
I was over it.
Yeah.
That little twink guy, Troy Sivan or whatever was there, mm-hmm. He looked like a little Christmas elf.
He's a Christmas angel.
I was like, what? I was like kind of, I mean, it was a look.
I'm obsessed with him.
I don't know him. I don't know him.
I don't know him either.
Do you know him?
I mean, I met him like multiple times over the weekend, but he's just like a true angelic tour de force. Yeah.
Was that his boyfriend?
Yeah, his literally, boyfriend Jacob. Like, I'm obsessed.
They look like identical twans. They look totally like identical twans.
They look very different.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Troy's short, Jacob's tall.
That's it? That's all you got?
Troy's blonde, Jacob's brunette.
They have the same face.
No. They both have angel beautiful
faces.
They both
have angel beautiful faces.
But that doesn't mean they necessarily look the same. I think they look very different from each other.
All right.
I love them.
Someone's
don't come here to talk shit about Troy and Jacob.
Team Troy
Sivan. Take you down.
No, they seemed sweet. I didn't talk to them. I just know that they looked like little elfin twink creatures.
They were the most beautiful people at the
party.
They
are. Yeah.
My kings.
They're great. So then
my new friends.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm like, Troy and Jacob, get in here and like replace you on this podcast.
Well, I remember like you said like this one weird thing to Jacob where
What did I say?
He was like, well, you know, we have a house now, so you should come over. And you're like, yeah, can I move in? He was like what? He left. I was like, Laura.
Obviously that was a joke.
I know.
It's a soft joke because if he had said yes, yeah. I would have been like, great.
No, I know. You would have like skid marks on the driveway, like pulled up.
But also that's a joke.
I know it's a joke.
Ugh, God, you live to shade me for my party antics, but guess what? I had a really fun time.
No, I know.
You're the one that was weird. You stared off into space and then you left.
What do you mean?
You talked to no one and you just stared into the
I talked to Tony, my little angel Tony. Mm-hmm. Actually his name is Antonio. I can't call him Tony.
He is an angel.
But he says only close friends call him Tony. Mm. So I was like, okay, well.
You're not at a Tony place.
No, but I think four hangouts, I'll be at the Tony level.
Yeah. 2018, so, yeah. Work on the Tony. Work on getting to a place of Tony.
Tony.
Yeah, he's sweet. The after party was more fun than the party.
Yeah, there was like one sketchy person there. I forget who. There's always like a weird person.
There's always a TBD. That's what makes a party kind of fun is when you have one TBD.
There's always like some like vulture in the corner like sucking everyone's blood. Do you know what I mean?
I was not affected by this person. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Me either, but I just know that they were there. I could feel it.
So Ryan stared off into the distance, and then finally, like, Jonathan was like, okay, we're gonna go, because he was actually socializing.
Yeah, he
and
was.
Then and then you guys left, and at that moment I was like, okay, well, I can either go now, or I'm like committed to just like seeing where this night takes
what,
me.
Where did it take you, by the way? What were you doing till 5:30?
It just
5:30?
Took me. I was just like chatting with people and smoking weed.
You were smoking weed?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just like blazing, and then I talked to our friend Henry for a really long time.
Oh, Henri was there?
Yeah, Henri was there, and we connected deeply.
How late did Henri stay?
Henri stayed late, honey.
Henri stayed late?
Yeah, he stayed until like... Maybe he stayed until late. We talked for like an hour in the kitchen.
Oh my God, amazing.
Our friend Henri, aka Henry, is a teacher, and he does this amazing pen pal program.
Yeah,
and so I've been doing it. It's incredible. And I was just telling him, like, I, as a writer, am terrible at deadlines. Like, truly.
Really?
Oh, I'm bad. It's always been a problem for me. And oftentimes, like, when I was home, I was reading all these like teacher, like reading through my grades from boarding school and like teacher comments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still do this to this day where they're like, I would just like not turn papers in ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like make A's and like do really well and then just not turn in a paper.
That's crazy.
I know. And then, or I would just like do a bunch of things and then just like not do something. And that's always been my vibe, like as a human being, and something that like I am going to work on in the future. But I was like reading those things, I was like, oh my God, I've been this way since the dawn of time.
I've always come alive with a deadline.
Yeah,
I love a deadline, and I love giving myself deadlines. In college, we'd have like a 10-page paper due and we'd have 5 days to do it, and I would write 2 pages a day to make sure I wouldn't be so overwhelmed.
Oh my God, you're really good at that. I'm like, I'm so bad. And so with Henry and this pen pal thing, it's like you trade maybe like one or two letters a month with like a student that he pairs you with, and they write, like they write you, you write them, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what a pen pal means.
Yeah.
But I'm like, a pen pal is when, but for me, it's been really good for deadlines. Like I have not missed one because
good.
I like really care about the girl that
like
I'm writing. I know.
Like,
and I'm like, if
over.
I let her down, then I'm a fucked up human being. So it's like, it's actually been the perfect and like a really good like writer experience of like learning how to like talk to someone. I was
good.
Just like, I'm all about this program. I'm like, when you need me to come in and talk to the kids.
Oh,
like,
you should.
Yeah, I should.
There are a lot of people who don't make the deadlines. I'm not going to name names, but they know who they are.
Oh no. A lot of people don't. And I was just like,
it's weird.
I can't.
It's like, why would you leave this like junior, like in high school, like high and dry? That's so rude.
I just like, it's the only thing I've ever really truly turned in on time consistently.
That's great.
I know. And
well,
I was
now
like,
we know
wow.
What it takes. You need to just be motivated by a 17-year-old like crying in a corner.
I do. If every like exec that I was dealing with
was a 17-year-old girl,
they
will be soon enough.
Yeah.
Trust me.
And
that's
they were
the
like,
new future.
Really sad. And they were like, and then I would like turn in everything.
Yeah, that's your motivation.
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
Honey.
Speaking of 17-year-old girls, I want to talk about the premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I know that we're strictly, I mean, I don't think we talk about what? Why are you giving me that look?
Nothing.
What?
I just, sometimes you like try and act high and mighty about reality shows.
What do you mean?
You just like look down your nose at certain shows.
Like what?
On Bravo.
Like what?
Like Vanderpump Rules.
I don't. I'm on the podcast. Wait, are you insane?
Well, sometimes you just act like you don't want to talk about it, but I know that you do.
Sort of. It's complicated. Anyways.
Anyways.
So I've been watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills since the beginning. The first few seasons, if you've watched them, you know that they're incredible. They're like works of art. You have Kim Richards, who's basically like Jerry Blank, IRL, and she's like falling apart, and she's crazy, and she's like calling everyone a slut pig. Then you have Brandi Glanville, who's insane and a total lush and wackadoo. Then you have Taylor Armstrong, who's really dark and her husband commits suicide. You have Camille Grammer, whose season one was truly a daemon, but then like got her shit together when she saw the edit and just like became mute and was like, I'm just not going to say anything.
But she like fully redeemed herself in season two. Like
how?
She became fabulous.
She was barely in it. She was like barely in it. She just didn't say anything. That was her. Like, that was her move. Was like, okay, well, if I talk, bad things that come out. So I'm gonna just literally be in a corner.
I love
and
Camille.
Ask questions. No, I know, and I love how Camille just shows up to everything and doesn't say anything and doesn't do anything. It's like, why is she here?
She just wants to be part of the crew. They're her friends.
No, I know. I love when Camille dances, but her in season one, that's like a real killer performance.
Yeah,
like, she is truly the most vile housewife I think in Housewives history.
Oh, I don't know. Danielle Staub was worse.
No, but no, season one, Danielle Staub was unstable and unhinged. Like, Camille Grammer was like so smug and superior on a way that like it was just very dark. Like, she had one friend, Dee Dee. And Dee Dee was like her slave. And she was just like, what? I have like auto nannies. Like, she'd always like talk in this weird, like coquettish baby voice. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like, and then like smirk. And like, she like, what she would do is like, she'd bait someone into saying something awful at someone else. And then she'd be like, oh, you're so bad. But like, she wouldn't say it herself. She was really manipulative and toxic. Anyway. So after all that happened, the first three seasons, I think the franchise took a nosedive and became really boring because they don't really talk about anything. Like, it all comes down to geography. Like, New York, New Jersey, like, they'll have it out immediately. Like, they'll air their drama and then they'll be done. In Beverly Hills, it's all predicated upon being fake and nice. So there'll be the drama that fuels like eight episodes is like something that you'd get done in a cold open of like a Real Housewives of New York episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's literally like, wait, Lisa Rinna said what? And then that is just like seven episodes up. Did Lisa say that? No. I think she did say that. No. Like, and then it's like, then they have like one fight about it that you've waited for like literally 2 months for, and it's so stupid. Anyway, the point is that it's gotten really boring.
It's boring, but if they are spent, like, if the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are just spending money and like going on crazy trips, then it becomes worth it.
Also, Erica Jayne is so perfect that like she makes it all worth it. Like,
yeah.
She is just reality TV gold because she's so funny and she's so honest and she's not fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, someone tweeted us being like, is Erica Jayne a babe? And she's only been babe once when she, I don't think you saw this episode, when they went to Tokyo.
Oh, no. And they went to China.
She's like, you don't know what I go through at night. Like, she just started sobbing. It was
no,
bizarre.
I love her. I think
that
it was like, that seemed, kind of that read to me like a jet lag moment. And
I think
then
it was
she,
jet lag.
And she immediately was
jet
like,
babe.
She was like, I'm sorry.
Like, no, I know. She immediately was like, that was weird. Anyway, she literally like came out of her psychosis. I'm like, woo, back to the races.
And that's how, like, that's how I babe out is like, I go full nightmare. And then like less than 24 hours later, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what happened. That. Yeah. And I own it and
you
then move
it.
On. I don't have to buy it because I own
speaking
it.
Speaking of owning it, Lisa Rinna is my queen. See, people are really polarized about Lisa Rinna.
I
love her. I love
for
her
Lisa Rinna.
She's the only one in that franchise who's willing to actually work for her paycheck. She's like, okay, no one's going to say anything. This storyline's going to be really boring. I guess I'll just like throw a wild accusation about Dorit doing coke, which, by the way, you know she was doing coke, FYI. She was doing coke off her baby's like misshapen head. That is like due to neglect. Seriously, she's like doing bumps off that weird bull head that you get when you neglect
your baby.
The
baby down
yeah,
in the
when
crib
you don't,
for too long.
Yeah. Like, both her...
Does his head have that?
Yes, both her babies have weird developmental problems basically due to neglect. And like, she never sees them.
Oof.
And like, it's so dark. Like, she never sees them.
That's like a type of reality show darkness that I just like can't get down with. Like, that's why I had to stop watching
a mom neglect moment.
Yeah, like a or just children being neglected on a reality show is like, this feels wrong.
It's really wrong.
It's wrong.
Like Thomas Ravenel with
And I don't think that it's like, I think that there should be a line where it's like, this is not for our entertainment anymore. Like, this is actually like sick that this is happening. And like, it just can't affect like little sweet innocent
Dorit's whole thing going into it was like, you know, I actually got to like talk to my kids over the summer, and like, they're really cool. Oh, and then it was
she's like, I met these two little people
who have
and
been living
said,
in my house, and I've always wondered who
and
are
I kept
you?
Trying to spray them with bug spray, and they wouldn't go away. And then finally, I realized they're my children. So we went to Miami, and I spent like a lot of time with them, and I got to know them.
We had lunch. We had one lunch, and it was great.
I love that the whole episode was like covering everyone's journeys, like in the past 6 months, for the majority of the episode, which was like catching up on what I've been up to.
Kyle Richards, her fashion is a babe, like totally personified. She's a babe personified for sure.
I just got full body chills. My hair, like my arm hair, just went like.
No, like I know.
Kyle
like,
Richards.
My shirt her just like, went upside down on my body. Like it just that turned upside down.
That shirt that she wears that is like...
Everything she wears. Everything.
She lives for a bell sleeve, like a huge unfortunate bell sleeve, a Birkin, and... like a long statement earring.
Kyle puts on like a nice outfit and then just goes abracadabra terrible. And then it just morphs into something unwearable.
It's like, not I feel a like, nice outfit to begin with.
No, honey. I know, but I feel like even if she had a nice outfit, she'd find a way to fuck it up. Like yeah. Her style is truly atrocious. Also, like she's very body conscious, but everything she wears is so unflattering for her figure. I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Like that weird billowy striped shirt that looked like a tent that you buy at Home Depot.
The striped shirt that literally looked like a Cruella de Vil like
yeah.
blouse.
Yeah, I know.
So, it looked like Cruella does the Hamptons.
Who do you think is the most babe out of all the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I think Erica Jane is babe exclamation point. Yeah,
for sure.
I think
Really, Serena's babe exclamation point.
No, totally.
I'm here for her.
Dorit is a babe question mark. When she showed up with that hair, that fluffy hair, that wig or whatever it was that she couldn't even, it was beyond her control.
She looked like Tina Turner.
Yeah.
It looked like a Tina Turner wig.
It was a true
wig.
Babe.
Yeah.
Dorito is a babe. And then...
Call her Dorito?
Dorito.
Oh, right. Who calls her Dorito on the show, right? They called her Dorito on the show last
year. Did they? If no one's calling her Dorito, it's a huge missed opportunity. Right. She'll always be Dorito to me.
Yeah.
Like, I love her, but I also, she's a babe. Yeah. And who else?
Having a fixed accent is a babe move, too.
It's a true babe. It's like a Lindsay.
It's like people who go by their middle name instead of their first name.
Yeah, that's a real babe. Who else is on the show?
Kyle's a babe. She is.
No, Kyle's just a babe, period. Because it's like, you don't need to dress like this, but you choose to. So it's just like,
Lisa
babe.
Vanderpump, I'm like, whatever. I don't care about her.
Lisa's a babe.
She's
exclamation.
Fine. Is she really?
She's a babe, comma. She's just friendly.
She's so,
I don't know.
No, she's friendly. She's like manipulative. She's
but
like
Lisa
manipulative
does
and dark.
Keep it the show going as well. She's working for that show.
I guess so. Mildly.
I respect Lisa Vanderpump.
Mildly.
She works.
She works.
Who else? The Melon Camp is just a babe.
She's
the I love the Barry the lead where she's like, I didn't grow up with anything given to me on a silver platter. Yeah. And then like 20 minutes later, she's like, my father is John Mellencamp.
She's like, I know the value of the dollar. I'm like, do you work? Like, also she's like trying to come in as like the one with the personality. She's like, look, I can sugarcoat this, but my husband, he was on one night stand. Okay. And you're like, okay, she's trying to be like, she's trying to be like the funny, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm wacky. I'm flawed.
If you have to explain your sense of humor, like if you ever have to have a moment where a producer's like, talk about your sense of humor, and then you explain it, you don't have one.
One night she's bland.
Like, I just have like a really dry sense of humor.
Oh, I know.
So if you don't get
if
what
don't
I'm
get
saying
it,
and it takes you a minute, that's fine. Because that's like how I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, no,
a
you're
lot of
just
unfunny
a null.
People say that their sense of humor is dry when really dry is code for non-existent.
My favorite thing is, and we had some experience with that this week, is when a noller thinks that they're a loller.
Oh, honey. That is like so offensive to me. I know. No, there's nothing, because most nollers, I think they wouldn't even think about it. They would not think that they're a loller.
The
right?
best is like, yeah,
like,
well,
Bob's,
no,
did you see Bob Saget on Watch What Happens Live? He's like,
ooh,
the definition
he was a
of a noller who thinks he's a loller.
Noll.
He's a noll.
Yeah, he was,
but he thinks he's a loll.
And also the hallmark of like a noller is like, if you say the word loller to them and then they try and correct you or turn look down their nose at it and they don't get it, they
or have, they say loller.
Loller, I can like accept.
If you say lol, it's a lol.
Lol.
Lol. No.
Lollers only. And so we just interacted with a poor unfortunate soul who like didn't understand. He was like not clear on loller and then also thought he was a loller.
Yeah, and that's all we'll say about that. Trying to destroy my family.
I'm like, it was Ryan's dad.
No, my
if
dad,
you're listening, you suck.
You know what you did.
You know what you did.
You
and
know
I
what you did,
hate you.
Daddy.
Signed, Lara Marie Shanehouse. Fuck you. Merry Christmas. Just kidding, you fucking noller.
I would give you the gift of laws for Christmas, but you wouldn't know how to use them.
Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah, I know. It's true. No, it's not my dad. My dad is like very dad-like humor, but sometimes he genuinely makes me lol.
Yeah.
He has like some gen lols in him.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to be like awoken because he's like in a tomb.
Your like, dad lols. I've seen him lol.
He does lol.
He loves to
he
lol.
He does. He loves to lol.
And he yeah. is a loller.
He is a loller.
He yeah. might not think that he is, but some
no,
lollers.
No, he thinks he okay. is. No, the, my the dad funny thinks thing he's is wit. That
some
his,
lollers.
His AOL screen name was a bit of wit when he was dating.
That's it a was, good screen.
I know, a bit of wit.
I would have IM'd with him.
Yeah. Maybe you did. Who knows?
I'm like, spoiler, I cybered with your dad. Yeah.
Spoiler, we fucked. And it's been a long con. That's why I'm telling you this today. Merry fucking Christmas.
Did you ever like cyber with your friends on
No.
And oh.
What? Was that like a normal thing?
Oh my
what
god.
What does cyber mean?
Like, cyber sex.
What does that mean? Do you just like right, I'm touching you right now.
Oh my god, when AOL happened, my friends and I would go to each other's houses and we'd go and chat like sex chat rooms.
Oh yeah, I think I would do that.
Find someone and then take the chat out of the chat room and then we'd like cyber sex with them.
I didn't do anything gah. There's a lot of people that like did a lot of gah things in
what's a gah?
Gay.
Oh.
Gah a straw. What?
You've been trying. This is a new thing Ryan's no trying to make happen do- as of 24 hours ago.
I know, but it's funny. I've been saying gah or straw semi occasionally.
Literally, the last time I heard you say it was last night. So, like, less than 12 hours ago. Whatever, but I love it and out. I support it. And now I'm aware, so I'll good. Support your gahness.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I didn't do anything gah. I don't know why.
We didn't do anything gay. We just, we did
no,
like,
I didn't
straight-
do anything gay.
Oh.
It's about me. Don't you understand?
But like, did you get, is this a girl? Okay, I think this is like a girl thing that girls what? Do in groups. Like the way we discovered like our sexuality was like we would go
finger each other.
No, we no. would go like it would be five or six of us and we'd go into these chat rooms while we were on sleepovers other? And then babe, stop being gross. You're being like a straight man right now.
Am I really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's you're making like
fuck.
You just did a straight man null where you make the same sex joke twice because it didn't get the lol
I'm
you wanted.
So
at first.
Sorry. That was a straight man null move.
It
and
was.
I deeply apologize.
Thank you. And, I accept your apology.
And I'll do penance for it later.
I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did.
I won't either.
We'd go in these chat rooms, we'd find someone, then take the chat, and then we'd all be like hovered around the computer, and we wouldn't be like necessarily turned on, but who knows what the person on the other end, and we'd like cyber sex with them. We'd be like, say what you're doing, and like, and just
what,
go.
What would you guys do on the other end? Just lol?
We would just lol, and then we'd be like, I'm coming! And then we'd be like, ah! And then they'd be like, ugh! And then we'd be like, okay, bye. This happened all the time.
That's hilarious.
And then like sometimes we'd watch like softcore porn like on Cinemax or something, like mm-hmm. just turn on like some Shannon Tweed like porn and just like
oh,
watch
Shannon Tweed.
Yeah, lol. She was like the first
wasn't,
pair
like,
of boobs.
Cinemax? That I... Wasn't she kind of queen of Cinemax?
Yeah, and we would like watch these like porns, but it would be like a group of girls and it wouldn't turn sexual with any of us. It was just like we were all kind of like watching and learning together.
So when I was in middle school, I think I told you this story. I was at a friend's house. We were having like an all boys sleepover, and someone like mentioned like masturbating because we were like in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
and I had not actually masturbated before because I had not gone through puberty. I didn't go through puberty until seventh grade, but I guess all the other boys had. And they were
wait,
like,
"How old are you? You're sixth grade."
I was
grade.
In sixth grade.
Okay,
and
how old is that?
Like 12.
Okay.
And I didn't. Yeah, I didn't go through the change till seventh grade. They were like, so you like you masturbate? And then they're like, yeah. Like everyone was like, yes. And that's like all we could talk
did
about.
Did they say
like,
masturbate?
Yeah, like or jack off or whatever.
Okay.
And then we had this Playboy with Sable on the cover who was like this WWF like woman,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I don't know her. But go ahead.
And basically the whole evening climaxed, no pun intended, with us going into a bathroom and jerking off to this Playboy. And like, well, like we just like hung out in the bedroom. And
yeah.
They like jerked off. And it was so funny because I didn't jerk off because A, I had never jerked off before. And B, I was not going to jerk off to fucking Sable. Although at that point I could have jerked off to like a fucking Formica.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that. Like it's like.
You're like a kitchen island.
Yeah. Literally, I'm like, oh, that's colander. But it was funny. I it was such a weird thing to do. I mean, it was basically like one step away from being a circle jerk.
Yeah, but kids do that. Like, no, kids I know. Are so exploratory.
I wish we would have been like, I wish we would have done a circle jerk.
You're like, I wish we would have all fucked each other.
I know. I wish we would have just came on each other's faces.
The kids don't know to do that. You're just like, oh my God, like this whole world exists that I've never even known, which is like sex. And it's like, when you're little like that, you're kind of just like, what is this? It's like right. silly and you don't really get it. And then you get older and then you get it. And it's then you funny. Get older and you don't get it when you want it. Well, and then you die.
I remained friends with one of the guys. Like, he lived in New York and I would see him every once in a while because mm-hmm. we're mutual friends. And it's like, I always want to be like, hey, remember when you jerked off to Sable in the sixth grade?
You should.
Just sat in the bed and waited. I don't even remember if there was like any noises. Like, the whole thing was so weird. I mean, I would honestly, it would not surprise me if none of us masturbated that night.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's more about like, I think the bonding experience than anyone like yeah. getting off. When yeah. you're that young, it's like.
I remember also going to Astro Camp in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what Astro Camp is?
Is it astronaut camp?
Yeah. And I had to go and I was just like,
oh,
it's horrible. Ryan O'Connell goes to Astro Camp. You don't want to see that movie. Change the fucking channel. So basically, we were like, we had to shower. After like swimming and we were all naked and there was this one guy with like a big dick in the fifth grade
mm-hmm.
and we were all like, Johnny, God. They're like, whoa, you have full, I remember one guy was like, you have full bush, man, you have full bush.
He had a full bush in the fifth grade. Full
bush, yeah.
He was like actually 35.
He was like, yeah, you want to touch it? We're like, ah! He's like, no. But everyone was like, it was hilarious. We were all just like marveling at his penis and his like big bush. And we're just like, cool. We're like literally like high-fiving. I'm like, good for you. And I'm like, this is hilarious.
Well, that's just a wild journey.
I know. It's true. I was popular. It's true. Because I was a loller. And people love, honestly, like people will erase any prejudices they have if you make them laugh. Like, if you make them laugh, you can get away with anything. And
yeah.
you can be anything you want. It's a superpower. It yeah. really is. I've, like, trolled so many people in meetings, like, subtly, just through the power of lols.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's almost like a drive-by troll where you just, like, you take the troll, you literally douse it in lols, and then you just shoot it towards their face, and it hits them, and it feels like a pillow rather than, like, a jagged knife.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, wait, what?
Lols are the key.
Lols are the key, and you can, again, it's like, it's a very powerful tool.
Unlock.
And one that, if you use it correctly, it can be really amazing and incredible. What?
Do you think that, like, a noller can become a loller?
No. No, it's innate. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, either you have the power to loll or you don't.
But maybe something could happen to someone.
No.
Okay.
No, because I truly believe it's a lens that you
through
see the world.
Through which you see
the world. Yeah, and that's innate. Like, you either look at a situation and you immediately see the funny in it and the absurdity. Like, that's the thing that I've noticed about my family, who, God bless them, they're not lollers, mm-hmm. usually. Like, something will happen to us, and I'll be like, oh my God, that was so insane because of reasons X, Y, and Z. And they're like, oh, and then they'll laugh, but like, that's not how they perceived it. Like, they did not see the lull in that. I have to point it out to them, literally create a map, draw an arrow, and then when they see the arrow and follow it, they still can't find it. Then I have to like blow it up, put it in HG, and then they're like, oh, and then they laugh.
You lead them to lulls.
Oh, honey, breadcrumbs, because they need it. But then, and then they laugh, but like, I'll be like, oh, we just had the same thing happen to us, but your takeaway wasn't this immediate funny thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's, so you have a different prescription than I do, you know?
Let's...
as you say, so bored.
I know. I was like, let's switch gears.
What do you mean? I think it's interesting.
Well, no, it is interesting, but I want to talk about something else.
Fair enough.
We are currently having like a crisis of identity because, you know...
What are you talking about?
The Vintner's daughter...
Oh, right.
We realize that it's not as good as people are making it out to be.
Vintner's daughter might be...
Vintner's
little,
slaughter.
Yeah.
Because, so Ryan gave me like 3 test vials of it, which is like enough for probably like 2 weeks of...
Oh, really?
No, actually not that many. But I've been I haven't been using it every night because I want to savor it and like... But I used it like 3 nights in a row.
People swear by it, by the way. It's like... the new
this
serum.
Is like the it's new like anyone
incredible
who, yeah Goop yeah. is literally like jizzing over it all right. the time, like into the gloss, like can't stop talking about it. It's like anywhere you go people are trying to like push Vintner's Daughter on you and you're like, I don't have $180 so I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's I guess insane. I'm just gonna be a garbage troll for the rest of time, and then right. you like live your life feeling so sad that you can't get in on this Vintner's Daughter club. Spoiler alert though, I'm pretty sure Vintner's Daughter made me break out like all over my chin. What about you?
It made me break out. Yeah, I never break out my face, thank God. But I've started to break out a little bit near my like right here.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that area? What would you say that is?
It's like your jaw, kind
my
of.
Jaw, or like around my jaw,
around your mouth,
around my mouth. Yes, around my mouth. Duh. Oh my God. Like, what is this area?
What is this area?
I'm pointing to around my mouth.
Literally your mouth.
It's like, and I never break out there, but I've been breaking out there ever since I started using Vintner's, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm hurt.
Yeah, you know? And maybe, I was breaking out all maybe I over.
Maybe I like trusted the wrong people.
I'm like, you know what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was breaking out like all over my chin, and then Ryan and I had this moment last night where we were like, we're breaking out, and like, and then we realized that we're now choosing to blame Vintner's Daughter.
Well, I don't know who to believe anymore. I've been actually really trolled because I went to that celebrity facialist, Terry Lawton, and she told me that I need to stop using Le Mer moisturizer. Now, I have really, really dry skin. I'm like scaly, like the snake in Anaconda.
But you need to drink more water.
Okay, but like it's also just like I have psoriasis and like rosacea, like whatever.
Yeah.
So I've been using La Mer, and La Mer is really thick. It's a really intense moisturizer, like mm-hmm. very intense. But it really kept my skin smooth and moisturized. And then I go see Terry, and she's like, "You can't use La Mer. It's no like forbid." She like.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Forbid me from doing it. And then she gave me her own fucking serum, and I'm just like, wait, now my skin is drier than ever because I stopped using La Mer. And maybe
dry
I need
as
to
a
go
bone
back, maybe I need to go back to La Mer.
You probably just need to incorporate also drink water. It's been dry,
I know, but like whatever. I just think that like I think I've been led astray. And also I want to use the Goop. I want to buy the Goop Instafacial. Also I bought, and Lara's going to try it out too, this new really chic Korean facial called the Hanacure. God, I wish we could get like fucking like skin promoters.
Well,
although we tell the truth, and so maybe they'll be scared.
Well, I'm like, send it to us.
Yeah,
and we'll see.
Hanacure is like the new It facial, and it's supposed to be incredible, and it's supposed to like tighten the fuck out of your skin and make you look amazing. So I got like 4 facials like coming to us for like an at home moment.
Chic.
Wait,
so has anyone else? I want to know if listeners have had a bad experience with Vintner's Daughter.
Honey,
and then
like,
we're gonna. And
using
then
Vintner's
gonna,
Daughter is like a normal thing. Like people don't use it.
I know, but if they do, I'm like, I don't use it normally. But when I did, it was traumatizing. So I want to know and start a support group.
Did you read this?
A recovery group for anyone that's been wronged by Vintner's.
Did you see that article that was about how this year became like using skincare as like a coping mechanism? I honestly truly believe that like because everyone feels so out of control with the state of the world that like people are turning to their skincare because it gives them like some sense of control in like a world of chaos.
Well, that must be nice for the people that can do that. I was like, literally
Lara always coming in with
the- I'm like, yeah. Fun for them. I love how they coped. I'm like, I coped by just like upping my Prozac and like hiding in my apartment for days on end.
And I just put weird potions on my face. That's yeah. what I did.
I found like some skincare stuff that's like not expensive that I use now, but it's good. Been I haven't been able to like truly go down my preferred skincare path. Which
well,
is
I'll
like,
get the Goop facial stuff and we'll try that.
Okay, cool.
I mean, our friend says it's amazing.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
You wanted to read your poetry, did you?
Oh, yeah. So I always do. So here's the deal. I actually love. So I used to have this thing called a live journal, which may date me. I don't know, but it was really hot in like the early aughts. And it kind of acted in a similar way as like Instagram or Twitter or MySpace or whatever, where it's like it was an online journal and you like you could be public or you could be friends only, and you could just like curate your life and like make it seem really chic or make it seem really bleak. I don't know, whatever. And you could be like Live Journal famous too. Mm-hmm. Cause like you, if you like posted, like my Live Journal was really well curated. I like only posted pictures of like hazy Polaroids and like vague entries of me and my friends being fabulous and having fun. Mm-hmm. So I like people like, I had a pretty popular Live Journal.
You've always been into like an online moment,
an online prez.
Yeah.
Well, I've always good at doing the internet, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was always good at like presenting myself to the internet,
yeah,
in a way, which I know sounds dark, but you know, was also a really big Live Journaler was Bethany Costantino.
Oh, really?
She was huge in Live Journal. That's how I met her. Was
that's
through
how
Live
you
guys
Journal. Connected?
Well, I knew her through Live Journal. We were Live Journal friends, and then she started doing this band called Bethany Shariah that was like very like Rilo Kiley. And I loved it. Have you heard her
no.
stuff? Oh, honey.
It's great.
Like, it's like teen angst, Rilo Kiley, Jenny Lewis. It's like perfect.
Oh my God, fun.
So actually I went to shows when she was doing Bethany Shry in high school and stuff like that. Bethany was also really good at doing the internet. Like, I just think that like, I know it's like a dark thing to say, but like,
no, some people have that and some people don't.
They're just like good at presenting themselves and like are funny and like whatever. They just like know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like know how to appear cool, whatever, whatever.
I'm good at like and I can tell this story after you finish, but like, I just realized like my skill on the internet is like making things go viral.
You are. Yeah. You're good at making things go viral. In terms of your own presence,
it's spotty at best.
It's spotty. Yeah. You're inconsistent. You like forget to like promote Babe.
I know. I just don't.
You like forget. And you forget to like promote Sup.
I get really like insecure about self-promotion.
Really?
Yeah. Like I just don't care. I know, but it's something.
I have to scroll through all this other shit. You know, it's like, fuck it. I'm going to do
I just get like overwhelmed and then I get insecure and I don't want to post anything about myself. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, it is weird. You should just.
But I do have the ability. I have the ability to make things go viral and like make like a viral lol.
Yeah, you do love a viral lol.
I love a viral lol.
So anyway, I had this Live Journal and I really went crazy when I broke up with my boyfriend in high school and I wrote really bad poetry and I just want to share some of it.
Share.
Okay.
Sharing is caring.
Some of them are too embarrassing. I mean, okay. Oh my God. This is really actually embarrassing.
So wait, you broke up with your boyfriend.
I just wrote poetry.
Is this the high school boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Michael, who you called
senior year of high
trash.
School. Who I called Teen Trash. This was senior year of high school. I would write poetry. And I wouldn't even post it, actually. It was just on this, like, in this Microsoft Word doc called Writings. Mm-hmm. So this one's called Summer. Great, great title. Even the warmest seasons leave me feeling cold. And you can't ignore facts that stare you right in the face. The facts being that falling in love again is not as easy as remembering how to ride a bike. There are holes that might never be able to fill in ever again. You're so ready and willing the first time you give yourself to someone. You can only give so many times before you decide you'd rather take. And once you become a taker, you become a goner. It's kind of true.
This is feeling true and not weird to me.
What it comes down to is that when I drive around this town, I'm reminded of mistakes I made at 17. And I'm not fucking 17. I was 18. And I'm not going to make that goddamn mistake ever again. So please, some leniency would be great. It's hard not to live in the past when you are living somewhere that feels like a museum. People, places, and things all feel like artifacts. I'll take it all in stride, but it's very frustrating when you find yourself waiting for phone calls that haven't come for a year. Everything here remains frozen, and when you step into it, you yourself become a little frozen. In life, you're always pushed to move forward and to move on, but it's hard to do when you're kissing the same boy that wouldn't love you at 16, and most certainly won't love you at 19. I aged myself up a year. You can't do that when the beach still isn't that great and you find yourself bored to tears when the sky turns black. How can you change when you're somewhere that doesn't? That's like me being like, I want to get out of Ventura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems just like fine.
Seems fine.
I mean, okay. It's not, I wouldn't put it in the New Yorker, but it's not like...
Like Zadie Smith.
It's not like embarrassing.
It's my cat person.
This is your moment. Yeah, I mean, it's like whatever.
Okay.
I think it's like valid. You had feelings and you said them really well.
Okay.
What's read an embarrassing one for the love of God?
I don't know. Some of these are actually not that bad.
Okay. You're like, what I'm realizing is that I'm an amazing wordsmith.
I don't know. This one's called Legacies. We come out of our mother's womb and start running away from day one. Our fathers gave us the backhand and we gave them a hug because it was all we could do to stand up straight. Parents are
everything. What does that mean?
I don't know. My dad never gave me the backhand.
Yeah, I was like, your dad abused.
Amazing.
Parents are seen as extra fat, something that we need to suck out of us to feel light. But I'm sure...
parents are like lipo?
I guess. But I'm sure when we have our own, we'll realize what assholes we were and send massive apology letters. But what if they're gone already? Parents usually die before us and only live in our eyes, our weight, our hairline. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we better like what we see. We can't look at ourselves and see the face of a mother we were never able to love. These are simple ideas with complex emotions. Don't make mistakes you can't undo. A face can only endure so much. A heart can only feel so much. Smile and take your mother's hand. You shared the same body for 9 months, and now you're going to love her with all your might.
That's sweet.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, babe, this is... If you were my son and you were writing this poetry, I'd be very encouraging to you. I'd be like, keep on writing.
Oh, wait, this one's good.
Okay.
1 year stand. You worked well for that one night, but all the other ones, I was closed up for good. And when you left me, I was drinking champagne and spitting it out at your name. I'm not holding on to you anymore. So I hear you're dating Mr. Wonderful now, and I really do hope that works out for you. I'm not sour, and I'm not interested in being interested in you anymore. It's so exhausting, and it got me absolutely nowhere. I was sad, but now I'm getting what I want. And as far as Mr. Wonderful goes, well, he can go fuck himself, because you're not keeping me up at night. Don't come home.
That was your Alanis moment.
I know. It was like...
That's when you
do I stress you out?
Alanis.
My sweater's on backwards and inside out. Yeah. Yeah. That was my.
You're like, are you thinking of me when you fuck her?
I know. I know. Anyway,
love.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you know, you're a talented writer. Congratulations.
One more.
Okay.
If someone asked what our love felt like, I would say that it felt like the paintings everyone saw in the 60s, where the color was never well-defined, but always memorable. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It makes sense to me.
Okay. And if someone asked me to remember every detail, I would only be able to remember sleeping the days away with a boy naked. And the one time when you made me sob and all I could look at was the torn fabric in your jacket, because if I looked at your face, I would realize how ugly you were, and I wanted to think of you as beautiful. If someone asked what our friendships felt like, I would say it felt like one of those shows where you see on the television, with everyone laughing and crying together. And I would say that together we all made mistakes and we put that stuff up our noses because we could and because it was Saturday and there was nothing to do.
Had you done coke at this
point? No, of course not. but at least we were together. If someone asked how close we all felt to one another, I would say that our parents drank and loved us when they could, but our friends all drank together and we could love one another all the time. And that time when you let that boy push your face into the ground, we were there to pick you up, even though we knew it would happen again. We weren't going to feel like assholes when it did happen again. If someone asked me if it was all perfect, I would say no, but it makes perfect sense for us to all be together enjoying one another's imperfections. If someone asked me if this is what I want, I would say one mustn't ask so many questions, but yes.
I like that.
Really?
Babe, I think these are good.
I don't know. I wish I felt this insane. Sometimes I miss... feeling so lit. I mean, you think I totally feel lit.
I don't think that you're, I think you still feel really lit.
I don't know, but I want to feel lit. Like, I want to feel like live journal lit.
Well, I don't know. Get really depressed.
Okay.
I'm like, make a series of bad decisions.
But I think depression in a weird way is like, it's like, it deadens things. It mutes feelings. It doesn't, I don't know. Like for when I've been really upset, it's been like more paralyzing than like, I don't know.
I think for me, it like makes things feel so loud, but there's no way to get it out of my system.
That's real.
I don't know. You stop getting as lit as you were when you were a teen.
No,
as you get older.
I know.
Like you just temper.
You talked about this. I know. Yeah. It just kind of flattens out a little bit.
Yeah.
There's not like really highs and lows anymore. There just is what it is.
Yeah. But it's like nature. It's like, it's a real nature moment. But I miss like... it's funny because you think about like all the feelings you felt as a teenager and like falling in love as a teenager and like having these like relationships. And it's just like, you're so dramatic and everything mattered so much. And it's just like, it's just not the same anymore.
No, it's
not. Different. It's not necessarily even a bad thing that it's not the same. It's just like, you're different now.
I know.
And you still get emo and like write on your Tumblr. So
I do. My Tumblr is my
like,
lab girl.
Yeah. Like it's not really, I would say that venture to say that things aren't that different for you.
Okay. You might be right. Read my Tumblr. It's called mylabjournalsucks.tumblr.com.
I love you being like, I need to read this embarrassing poetry. That's actually like not that bad. looking for validation.
It's just embarrassing.
I'll give it to you. It was good. Can we move on?
Yeah, yeah, we can move on.
No, say so you can finish your thought.
No, I think I'm done. Well, no, it's just what I'm saying is like maybe the writing isn't technically bad, but feeling those things is embarrassing. Like remembering feeling those things and like also just like what it is. It's like wanting to be so deep.
Yeah.
And like that's what it is. It's like this kind of attempt at deepness that you just don't have at 17.
Yeah.
But wanting everything to be like so profound and like making up an abusive father and like
no, doing I like
coke and all that stuff. Like I didn't do any of that.
I would write poetry. I'll try and find it because I think I have some journals laying around. But like I remember this one poem.
Did you keep a journal in boarding school?
Every once in a while. I have some stuff, but I wasn't very consistent with writing. Yeah, but I can find it. And like I read a bunch of letters that I had written to my mom, but they were all really nice because like I was like, oh wow, I was such a nice little like sweetie.
That's nice.
But so I would write before I got sent to boarding school. I would sometimes write poetry. And I actually, like, I would tell my friends and I would talk about it. And one of my girlfriends was telling me that she wrote poetry. And she told me this, like, really intense, like, poem that she wrote. And then I just stole the last line and, like, incorporated it into my own poem.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, it's deep.
I love that. I love you just stealing.
I just stole her poem idea. And then I was like, my poem now.
If that was the internet, you'd be crucified and would never work again.
I know, but I wouldn't do that and like publish it. But it was like in my journal, I was like, this is a deep moment that speaks to me.
Oh my God. I love it.
It was Laura, like a poem
about stealer.
It was like a poem about like killing yourself and like bleeding out on the bathroom floor and then someone discovering you and then all they care about is the mess you made. And I was like,
no,
I love it. And then I like wrote my own version of it and I was like, anyways.
Oh my God. You made a mess. Yeah, it is dark.
Yeah.
It's very dark.
But what are you going to do?
I love how you think like talking about her sexual past, you're like, this is too sad. And you're like, anyways, there was a suicidal poem about bleeding out.
Well, you know what?
It always veers into a dark area.
It's fine.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So let's talk about our babe of the week.
Okay. Mine's Sky Ferreira.
Yeah. Sky is at it again.
Sky's babing out again. Well, she's babed out a few times, and I don't know why.
Sky has spent Q4 of 2017 being in a perma babe state.
I don't know. Her internet presence is actually very weird, and it's like, she always takes these really grainy photos of like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she always like, it's like her camera is like basically like a VHS camcorder. It's like I'm like, do you have an iPhone 2?
No, I think she probably has like an iPhone 5.
No, but I think she like deliberately tries to make things look like shit.
Yeah.
I think that's like her
it's an aesthetic. Yeah.
It's like grungy and weird and like untortured, you know? So anyway, she put up a new update for her music. I'm putting out new music really, really, really soon, in parentheses, for real. Early 2018. It's a series of songs, not my album, that melt together like soap.
So she...
Melt together like soap. What does that even mean?
Yeah, soap doesn't melt.
No. No, actually, no.
What?
No.
Anyways, go on.
Despite illness and 95% of what I post day to day seeming otherwise, aka me sharing absolutely nothing... Sometimes her thoughts are a little scrambled eggs. I try to avoid writing about things before they are finished due to time and the universe.
Well, she hasn't actually done that, though, because she's been writing. She's always talking about, every time she's like, I have new music, I have an album, I'm touring, but it doesn't happen.
No, I know, it never happens.
Sky.
Talking about what you're doing is different than actually doing it.
True.
No, it's very true.
True, Sky.
But I wish that she would take her own advice. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, so, she's still just doing Sky.
So maybe in 2018, Sky will have, like, a melty soap of songs.
An album,
which is separate from the soap melt.
By the way, I'm sure it'll be great. That's the frustrating thing
about it.
I like her music.
Oh, her music's great.
Did you hear her cover of Easy for the Baby Driver soundtrack?
No, you know how I feel about Baby Driver.
Well, I know, but the song.
Well, it burned me once and I never went back, but I'll check it out.
It's good. She's fantastic.
Yeah, and so maybe 2018.
I would love to have Sky on this podcast. Can you imagine? You know, she follows me on Twitter.
Would she loll?
I don't know. I mean, I think once she realized that we were making fun of her and her current illness, I think she would be a little unsoothed, as I would imagine she'd be.
Well, she could, like...
I mean, I'm not making fun of her for being sick. Like,
you can apologize to her.
Yeah, but it's like, it's this idea of, like, she's just...
She's
just
having a babe moment. If you can't admit your...
excuses, and it's like... And it's always, like, vague tweets of, like, things I'm excited about for my album coming out. Number one, someone else will have to take find their own creative vision. So she's like subtweeting someone.
Yeah.
For like stealing her steeds.
She's always like subtweeting someone or something. Always. And like always. And always,
by the way, always blaming everyone but herself. Like,
yeah.
Like that, I blame myself. Song always rang false for me because like she blames literally everyone but herself.
But I blame myself as like the victim. It's the victim stance to take, where when you're a victim, you do blame everyone, and then you're finally taking back and being like, I blame myself, but you're...
But she doesn't blame herself.
I know, but she's, by doing that, she's like letting everyone know that she blames herself, and it's their fault that she blames herself. It's like a reverse psychology.
I understand. Yeah,
reverse psychology.
Sky mail. That's what we should call... We should have a weekly update of Sky and call it Sky Mail.
Yeah. Well, we update kind of whenever she's babing out.
She's been... I feel bad because she's actually... She has babed out and I forgot to mention it.
Well, you better stay on it.
I know. I'm trying to see...
This is your wheelhouse.
I'm trying to see what else she's done. She's done some weird stuff. Anyway.
Anyway, Sky... Maybe 2018 will really truly be Sky's year to shine.
I hope so. And I think she should go on the come on the podcast if she was willing.
Totally.
Yeah.
We'll Standing see. Invitation.
Run, don't walk, Sky.
My babe of the week is Molly's Game, the movie.
Oh my God.
Because I watched it last night. I fucking loved it.
I fell asleep. I loved it though.
It reignited my passion for cinema. I was just like, this is a good movie. I haven't seen a good movie in so long. Like, I just can't tell ya. And Molly's Game rocked my world. It's the best movie of all time. Jessica Chastain is a queen. Molly Bloom, also a queen. It's amazing.
Who's Molly Bloom?
The
girl that she plays.
It's Molly's. Oh, it's Molly's Game. Who's Molly Bloom?
Jessica Chastain, to me, has the chicest career ever because she just like stars in Oscar movies, like one or two a year.
Mm-hmm.
And she has really amazing politics. Like, she's woke as fuck. And she's like... I don't know if she just like is a true... I don't know much about her life. I don't know much about her. I feel like she came out of nowhere.
She did kind of, but she was simmering, I think, for a long time, like trying to work because like she...
What did she do before? I feel like she
was
really
around.
Just,
she just did she, not have like a moment. She didn't have a breakthrough.
What was her first moment? Didn't she lie about her age?
I don't know. I don't blame a woman for that.
Oh, no, please. I don't either.
I mean... I'm like, that's rude, Ryan. Take it back. Do not come here to talk shit about Jessica.
I love Jessica. I'm telling you that.
Okay.
Although, I saw her in this play in New York called The Heiress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible.
The play was?
She was terrible. It was shocking. So she plays this woman, and she played her as if she had special needs. And I literally, like, during the intermission was, like, turned to my friend. I was like, is she supposed to, like, be, like, slow developmentally? And someone behind me was like, oh, my God, I thought the same thing. And she wasn't.
She wasn't.
No, she just played her like she was.
Well, maybe that was a choice. I think Jessica is making great choices.
Oh, I think she's incredible. I'm just telling you my experience at the Heiress.
I didn't start this podcast to have you shit on Jessica Chastain to my face.
Jessica Chastain.
Molly's Game... This podcast is brought to you by Molly's Game.
I know.
This podcast is brought to you by Aaron Sorkin.
This is why we'll never be able to get advertisers because I just like will bring something up and I'll be like, well, listen.
No, we can have advertisers. We can have anything we want.
That's true. I take that back.
So see Molly's Game. I'll be seeing it. Tweet at me about Molly's Game. It's the only thing I want to talk about.
Really?
Yeah. It's a powerful journey.
Okay.
Lolly's Game.
Lolly's Game.
Lolly's right. Game.
Chic. I'm in. I'm going to watch it tonight.
You're going to love it.
Good. I'll be all alone. I'm sad. You and Jonathan both are leaving tonight.
I know. What are you going to do for
I don't know.
The holiday?
I mean, I have plans. It's like, you know, I have plans. I just, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
Don't we have emails? Yeah, we have some emails.
We have babe mail.
Babe mail. Babe mail. Speaking of emails, I signed up for Kamala Harris's
thing,
and she has never stopped emailing. Every day is an email.
Really?
I'm like, Kamala, can you just chill?
Chill.
Like, yeah. I support, but, like, I can't do a daily email.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we have a song of the week? People have been loving our singing, specifically my singing, my velvet voice.
I was singing, it's the most babiest time, or babest, it's the most babiest, no.
Honey.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay, so someone's writing about Kel on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love.
I loved.
What did they
say?
I can't read
They said, hi, Ryan, Lara, longtime Lawler, first time caller. Aww. All of this discussion of immortal one season reality shows, RIP Gallery Girls, got me thinking about another Bravo gem, Kel on Earth. I truly believe the reason we didn't get a second season is because everyone that participated in season one watched in horror and realized how truly deeply awful they were. Kelly was probably mortified by how it made her company look. Or maybe not. C'est la vie. But remember when Stephanie Voorhees lost her shit over folding jeans for Fashion Week? Or over folding envelopes for Fashion Week? Or over the seating chart for Fashion Week? It's not brain surgery, said the other Stephanie. Would love to hear your thoughts if you remember it as fondly as I do.
I will totally go there with Kel on Earth because I was a huge fan. I've rewatched it multiple times.
Kelly Catrone was a queen.
She was a queen and then I got over her.
Yeah, I loved her book. If you want to cry, if you have to cry, go outside.
By the way, I got
really
that autograph by
book.
Kelly.
Oh, so chic.
Wonderful. Her assistant was a big fan of my stuff on Thought Catalog and he was like, do you want, and then Kelly wrote me a note in the in the thing, like a long note.
Love.
I know.
What'd she say to you?
I don't know. But her story is incredible. She was like doing meth and then like
she has a methy energy to her.
She does. Well, so Kel on Earth is incredible. And I actually think that some of the people did come off pretty good. Like you just feel bad for everyone and Kelly actually comes off the least great because she's like abusive.
Yeah, she's mean.
She's abusive and she creates a toxic work atmosphere.
Yeah. I need to rewatch because I don't remember anything about that show except that I loved it.
There's two gays. I think they're both named Andrew, if I'm not. No. Yeah, they're both named Andrew.
And there's two Stephanies?
So one Andrew is like a rich kid goth who's like a trust fund kid.
Oh my God. Yes, I remember
him. Andrew Mokamal or something like that. And then the other one is this like...
He was iconic.
Oh, there's my honey.
Oh my God.
My darling!
Honey, oh my God, this is a really good chance.
My darling's going off to the war.
Hand this to Jonathan. We have a guest star, Jonathan Parks Ramage, here to talk about Molly's Game.
Lara is a Molly head.
I'm a Molly head. I'm a fucking game head. I'm high on Molly.
Hashtag addicted to Molly's Game.
Yeah.
Hashtag addicted to Molly.
Addicted to Molly.
I think it's a good career direction for you, honestly.
To love Molly's Game?
Oh. Well, that's the first step.
Love it. I was like, great. It is my new career direction is being obsessed with Molly's Game.
First you start the fan club, then you start the high stakes poker ring.
Okay, yeah. I'm like curious how I would get into a high stakes poker game.
I think you have to. I mean, I think you can actually do it just by being like a hot waitress with somewhere that there's
I
want to
do like the gay version of Molly's Game and infiltrate Molly's Game,
honey.
Where it's I can infiltrate gay poker and get all the high rollers.
Gay poker is just extremely low rollers.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
That's not gonna work for me.
I know. I don't think rich gay people play poker.
Yeah, why would they? Like,
so
honestly,
lame.
Why would they?
That's the fatal flaw. I have to catch a flight, but thank you for letting me appear.
Thank you for being a guest star.
Ryan airs all our dirty laundry. Tell me about it.
Where Ryan says every fight that you guys ever have and talks about it at length.
I know he does.
Now Ryan's just Ryan's checked out.
Ryan's checked out. Ryan's checking out a W9.
Ryan's doing business right now. Can you tune in?
Sorry.
Be present.
My darling's leaving.
I'm leaving.
I feel like an army wife. My darling, come back from war.
This is the voice,
my
by
darling.
The way. Because every couple has their own like little weird voice way of talking to each other. And Ryan and Jonathan have invented like an old Irish man.
My darling. My darling. My darling. My darling.
My darling.
My darling. I love you. Give me a kiss. No, come on.
Oh my God, this feels...
My love.
This is on the air.
Podcast, honey.
I love you, honey.
He goes, my love. Come on.
I miss you, my darling.
Bye.
I love
have
you.
A good
Call
trip.
Molly's Game. I will not.
Okay.
Bye. Molly's Game. That's how I say hi and goodbye right now.
Molly's Game.
Molly's Game.
Darn
Molly's Game.
My angel. I'm going to miss him.
Okay, back to Kell on Earth. Okay. I'm going to revisit it, but I can't really speak.
It's fantastic.
But I remember Andrew, who had no stakes, and Kelly just loved him because he was rich.
Like, and chic, and, like, whatever.
Yeah.
He, like, gender-bended, like, and that was, like, a chic thing.
And she thought he was funny and, like, didn't hold him to the same standard as other employees.
There was this other girl that not Stephanie Voorhees, who was, like, an idiot. But honestly, like, you honestly feel for everyone there because everyone is so abusive to each other.
Yeah.
Like, it is a really toxic work environment. So, like, I think that when you first watch it, when you're younger, like, I was, like, 21 or 22, you're like, oh, everyone's a fucking idiot. And then you're like, oh, actually, Kelly Gutrun is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And she, like, creates a very hostile work environment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was, like, this one girl, Stephanie. Everyone is just so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what? Like, what blows my mind is, like, I get, like, going through a lot of shit for, like, your dream job. But to, like, go through that amount of shit just to work in PR is actually insane to me.
I don't have
like a passion for PR in such a way that you'd like literally get shit on every day for like years just to be like a PR girl.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
I really disagree with that kind of office culture that really I think is mostly prevalent in like the entertainment industry where it's mm-hmm. like, or in like PR, fashion, or mm-hmm. film, where it's like, yeah, you're going to be a fucking underling and we're going to shit on you for like 8 years.
We're going to haze you.
Yeah. And it's like, that sucks. Like, what? Like, you have to do like shitty things for your job anyways and have a lot of responsibility. But like, the abuse does not need to trickle down. And that it's from years. Like, obviously, the people that are doing it to you, it happened to them. But I really think like, that's not positive for anyone. Like, who does that benefit in the long run besides just the person that's being abusive?
What I think it kind of comes down to is like people feel like, well, I endured this, you have to endure it too.
I know, but
no one cool enough to like break the cycle of abuse and be like, actually, that was really horrible what I had to endure, and I would not want to subject anyone else to that.
My God, when I was first moved to LA, I got an internship at, this is funny, I don't think I can say where.
Okay.
But I got an internship at this production company, and then I eventually became like the second assistant to this producer at the production company, and his second assistant became his first assistant, and she was really nice to me like all through my internship, and she knew that I really wanted the job and like mm-hmm. vouched for me to get the job and was like so nice until the day that I started the internship, and she did a 180 complete turn and became Kelly Cutrone, and like literally would just like, she would like humiliate me in front of other coworkers.
That's like Devil Wears Prada.
It was like full blown devil. I was like, I thought we were like on the same friend page, like loving to work together. And she just treated me like shit. And other coworkers, like execs, would come in the office and be like making small talk with me or whatever. And she'd be like, shut up. You can't talk to her. Just shut up. And like make people not talk to me. And then like,
yikes.
she wouldn't like explain to me how to do things, or she'd do it really fast so I couldn't get it. And then she was just like hazing me and being like so rude. And then finally I was just like, I just like couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you. And then I just like gave her attitude back. And then she called me at 11:30 at night one night. And she was like, it was like I would be at this job for 12 hours a day, just like answering phones and like doing whatever it is assistants do. And then I'd go home and chain smoke like 50 cigarettes to like try and deal with how stressed I was. And then she called me one night at 11:30 p.m. and she was like, if this is going to work, we need to be friends. So just say it if you can't do that. And I was like, if we're going to be friends, like you need to be respectful to me. Like you treat me like you don't like me. And she's like, don't put this on me. And then she was like, and then hung up. And then like a week later, she fired me. And I knew that she just wanted to fire me. Like I knew that it was like, she was mad that like, I think she was mad that people in the office liked me and like liked having me around, and
jealousy.
And I'm not like, I am so fabulous, but it's like, the way she turned on me was like, whoa. And so she fired me and was like so smug, like didn't even let our boss fire me. Like she manipulated it to where she got to be the one to like call me into our boss's office and like drop the bomb. And by that time I was like so over it. I was like, I'm never working in this kind of job again. And she was like, I was like, what did I do? Can you just tell me what I did, like, that happened? And she's like, it's just not working out.
Ew.
And I was like, so what did I do? Like, because I would love to just learn from my mistakes. And she's like, it's just not a good fit.
Ew.
And I was like, you can't. So you're sitting here and you're telling me that you're firing me because you personally, for a personal reason. She was like, I'm not going to say. And she goes, this is Hollywood. Get used to it.
No.
And I said,
this is Hollywood. Yeah. Get used to it.
And I go, and then I just lost it. I go, this is fucking bullshit. And then like went and like cleaned out my desk, like tears streaming down my face, and like ran out, and like someone else, like another exec, was like, who was terrified of her, was like, what happened? And I was like, I got fucking fired. And then like ran into the elevator with like a box of my stuff and just kicked the shit out of the wall of the elevator and broke my foot.
Oh my God.
And then I like hobbled, I like actually broke my foot, and I like hobbled down to my car.
Like that first scene of Enlightenment.
Yeah, it was like,
it's like literally Laura Dern.
I hobbled down to my car and got in it and just screamed and like hit the steering wheel, like punched the steering wheel like 10 times, and then like zoomed out of the office.
God damn it.
I know. I was like, damn it. And then like zoomed out of the parking garage, and the parking person was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay. I got fucking fired. And she was like, I'm sorry. And then I just went home and I was like, I need a bottle of vodka. And then I was
like, a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, and I got like drunk, and then I was like, I'm fired. It was just like, it was a true
vodka. Yikes.
I know. I Jesus. Don't know what. I was in a real zone.
Oh, honey.
So then sorry. I actually fracture my foot, and then I wore a boot for like 6 weeks.
Oh my God. That's really
And then I quit the biz. I quit. And I was like, I think I'm more of a creative, TBH.
Yeah,
which
was
true.
It's true.
So fuck you. And then later I wrote, in White Girl Problems, there's a character that's based on her.
Didn't you take a meeting at that company?
And then when White Girl Problems that's came out, incredible. I had the most like truest phoenix from the ashes when we went in and took a meeting with that company, and she had to see that I was back and I was not going to get fired again as a creator. Did you just fart?
Yeah, I just farted. I'm sorry.
Ryan. oh my God.
What's happening? I'm sorry.
We got, okay, I think this is over.
We went to Gracias Madre, and it turned out to be a journey.
It's a journey.
Okay, we gotta go.
Okay, we gotta go. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinez.
I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.